Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 329, the box office report for the week ending November 12th.
We're a wounded beast.
We are a wounded beast, but here to heal us is Paul Harris.
No one said anything about healing.
I feel like you and I should have our own theme. You know, like on Batman 66 when Batgirl would drive by and you're just like, right. All right, it's gonna be a good episode.
Yeah.
Let's not forget the first time it was down to just you and me.
Oh, it was literally just you and me.
Like, wait, was that when we invented the chicken noise? You invented the chicken noise.
No, because that was Godzilla.
Okay.
You and I was Planet of the Apes.
The first Planet of the Apes.
Yes, but we had Rich Hanley.
We did have Rich Hanley.
Who has gone on to, I mean, pretty impressive stuff.
He's officially writing and editing the in continuity Planet of the Apes books now.
Yes.
Like,
yeah,
that's,
he's legit.
That's a big deal.
He was we tried to get him back for War.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm kind of a big deal now.
F you guys.
Yeah. He's like, that's adorable that you think I would deign to be on this little thing you do.
Yeah. It's I think he even said, he's like, yeah, I haven't seen it yet. And we're all just like,
yeah.
What?
Like, we don't believe you, of all people?
We
don't believe you for a second. This is just your polite way of saying you're beneath me.
Correct.
You know,
correct.
When I started out in the radio business, I remember thinking someday I'll be too big to go into somebody's basement and do a podcast. 40 years later, still hasn't happened.
Well, I would think if you were thinking about podcasts 40 years ago, you should have.
You were ahead of the curve.
Yeah, you really. Hello? You really missed out on monetizing.
Well, that's just what Dr. Emmett Brown told me.
Yeah. On that magical day, was it
November 5th, 1955.
Yes. So shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. It helps us tremendously. We greatly appreciate it. You can also go to Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. Join the League of Show Sharers, people who were kind enough to share the show this week. Dylan Lang, that's a new one. That's a new and but
Paul, that's on you. You need to make up a theme song for Dylan Lang. Now that
you're on Dan's mic,
it's going to be surprisingly like the Batgirl theme. I'm just thinking about Yvonne Craig now.
Is she
the first woman who ever made my little boy loin?
You
tingle.
Ain't kidding. Is she still alive?
I think she may have died a year or two ago.
Yeah.
Okay. So Burt Ward's the only one left.
I don't know. I guess it depends on how deep you're going to go into the cast.
No, well, I mean in the main cast.
Yeah.
Like your main.
I'm trying to think
three,
like.
He was the youngest, so it makes sense.
Right.
That
would make,
I'm also trying to think like if any of the people who were the villains are still alive.
Frank Gershon?
No, he
died.
They're all dead.
Yeah.
They were
Vincent
all old
Price,
when the show was on in the 60s.
Cesar Romero.
That's
no,
true.
No, wait, there's. One of the Catwomans is still alive.
Yvonne Craig is still alive. She is 78 years old.
I think Lee Merriweather is still alive, or maybe Julie Newmar. So they do like these, you know, those DC animated flicks,
right?
They bring back all the voices,
right?
So they brought back Burt Ward, Adam West, and I think they brought back one of the Catwomans.
Julie Newmar is 84.
There it is. It has to be her. Lee Merriweather's dead, right?
I'm checking.
And I think Eartha Kitt is still alive. Maybe.
I don't get
who was the one in the movie.
I don't get my Who Played Batgirl newsletter anymore.
That was Catwoman. Paul.
Zing. Shots fired.
You're correct. I apologize.
It's getting ugly in here.
Lee Merriweather.
He does this out of the kindness of his heart.
Lee Merriweather is 82 years old.
Oh, okay.
You know who was the other one I was looking at?
Eartha Kitt.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to say dead. I'm going to go with dead
for
Eartha Kitt.
Wasn't she the voice of... She did a Disney cartoon, and she was hilarious.
I am wrong. She is 81.
All right. There it is. Who was the... So they cast... You know, they did... So, they, you know, Two-Face was never on the 66 show.
That makes sense.
They thought it was a little too...
Yeah, there's no way to make that cute.
Right.
And then they adorably poured acid in his face.
Right. Like, so...
What I'm just imagining.
There's no other way to do
it. I'm imagining that writer's roundtable. Now, what if it was a birth defect? Is that funnier? No,
no.
Less
okay.
funny, more funny.
Although Frank Gorshin, who was the Riddler,
that's
did
right.
go on to have a two-faced Star Trek.
He did?
Where he was half black and half white.
Well, you can't get away with that now.
On the original series.
Yeah. I'm sure their heart was in the right place.
Yeah.
But
sure.
It was an episode about warring peoples. Some of them were black on the left side of their face, and the others were black on the right side of their face.
Oh.
And so there was...
They were sneeches. Some of them had stars on theirs.
I don't know what that is.
Sneeches?
No.
You have children. You haven't read them Sneeches?
Nope.
Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss.
Oh.
And it's about a group of Dr. Seussian type characters. Half of them have stars on their bellies. Half of them don't.
I don't think I've ever heard that story in my life.
Yeah, and then, well, it's because your parents are racist.
That's
yeah.
probably
and
true.
So, and so then somebody comes to town with a machine that will remove... Well, I forget, did you want a star or did you not want a star?
I don't remember.
As a sneech, not as a
okay.
German in the 40s. I know what you wanted there.
did not want the star.
Yeah.
No.
And so I forget what it was, but like the guy comes to town with a machine that I think will remove the star. And then they all start getting the star removed.
Right.
And then all the people with our sneeches without the star were like, well, now we're not different. And so then they went and got the stars put on.
Mm-hmm.
Then the same guy would sell
them
a way to put the star on.
He's no dummy.
And then they all start kind of going through the machine round robin, like getting stars on, off, to where by the end, nobody can remember if they had a star or not to begin with, because apparently they didn't have photos. But
no, I feel like they did. They must have done an animated version of this.
Probably at some
that
point.
I do,
but
remember.
it's not a whole book. It's like Sneeches and other stories, and
I
then
gotcha.
There are other stories. I think maybe Yertle the Turtle is also in that
okay.
one.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah,
so they cast William Shatner as Two-Face in the animated flick.
Okay,
and then I thought about it and I was like, he would have been great as Two-Face. In 1966.
But he'd have been too young. Like, those villains were always kind of aging Hollywood veterans. Right.
Yeah,
right?
But if, I mean...
So he's that now.
Comic book-wise, he's Bruce Wayne's friend. So he would be the same... I mean, he'd be the same age as Bruce Wayne.
Okay.
Valid yeah, point. And I was just like, William Shatner as Two-Face in 1966. Sign me up.
Yeah.
That sounds hilarious and great at
and
the same
now,
time.
And now in 2017, he's not Two-Face, he's Two-Pay.
That's true.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Yeah. He's like, I'm leaving on that. So back to show
yeah,
shares.
Back to show
shares. Dylan Lang, you got screwed out of a song.
Sorry,
but thanks
buddy.
For sharing the episode. Other people who shared this week, Linnea Thunsell, Chris Sansochi, Chris James, Chris Sanders, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, and his internet wife, girlfriend, I don't know what it is, Musings of a Cosplay Witch is the website she
significant
shares.
Significant other?
Yes. Jason Weesey, Zach Bach, Librarian Cynthia, Brad Hyen, Brandon Coleman, Travis Tewitt, Tom Kaminsky, Julianne Jordan, Tammy Sherman Powers, Griffin Fox Smith, Brent Smith, no relation, Lane LeVanway, Kevin Krysik. I hope I'm saying that
it
right.
It is Kevin.
It is Kevin. Okay, good to know. Jason Herndon, Timmy Tuzoons, and Troy Ann's Paw.
All right. Pow.
Poof. One of those.
It's all there.
Yeah. I'm just going to say it in like four different variations, and then you can, one of them is probably right. Maybe.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah. So there are your shameless plugs. Since Kevin is out, I guess I will have his abacus at the ready. So
I was going to do it, and then I forgot my iPad.
Yeah. So I'll need some sort of disinfectant wipe. So coming in at number one this week.
Gee, I wonder. Actually, I do wonder.
You should not wonder.
Okay.
Go with your gut.
Fair enough.
Is Thor Ragnarok coming in at 57 million dollars.
That's on a week two.
On a week two, that's a 54% drop. But it's, obviously these things are always pretty front loaded.
Yeah.
But that brings it to $212 million domestic.
That's impressive. I mean, for Thor 3.
For Thor.
Yeah, that's you know, we always say that this bubble's going to burst at some point, and I just I don't, for Marvel at least, I don't know what they're going to have to do. Like, even if they put out a turd, those people, it's still going to make $200 million.
Yeah, and I mean, they haven't.
No. No.
They haven't.
They've had some missteps.
There's certainly some are better than others, but they haven't put out, you know, a Batman versus Superman.
No, they haven't.
Thank God. Yeah. But for real, I mean,
I think it was growing pains. I think there was growing pains in the early days, Iron Man 2.
Yeah, they should have never had Kirk Cameron as Iron
No,
Man.
That was an interesting choice.
That was a mistake.
Yeah. Candace Cameron, I don't know
why.
It was
just 40 minutes of telling us how a banana proved evolution was wrong. It was weird.
I don't know. I mean, I'm surprised that Favreau let him go on that long about the banana.
Well, I did see the director's cut.
Oh,
so that
okay.
could be
That's
on
fair.
Me.
That's
that could
fair.
Be on me.
Yeah. That's it's an interesting choice to go with. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they haven't made a bad one. Some are better than others, but they haven't, you know. And I feel like they'll have to really, I think, put out a couple bad ones in a row.
Maybe more than a couple.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what the deal with this Fox Disney deal is. Like, I don't know if I've seen that it's off the table or it's back on the table.
Well, don't forget, this same thing happened with Pixar.
It did.
They were, hang on.
Man, word.
The same thing happened with Pixar. They were going to buy it, and then they were like, nope, we're done. We're walking away.
Pixar pulled away or Disney pulled away?
I believe it was Disney, okay. But then it circled back around and it happened. So even though they're telling you it's off the table,
right.
I don't know that it truly is.
It's a negotiating tactic.
Right.
I agree.
And also don't forget that Disney's starting their own streaming service, which means they need content.
Yep.
And acquiring 20th Century Fox would be a shortcut to content.
Oh, a lot. I mean, so Fox never went through the problem that MGM went through, right? Like, they didn't.
I don't think so. I think that they still pretty much have everything that they made. So MGM, their catalog's all split up, right? Yep. There was this weird thing about like pre-1954, but then some of these movies, they
James Bond problem.
And then like they never really fully owned James Bond. And then it was like they sold off their catalog pre-1954, but I still think they kept some of the crown jewels. So they still had like Wizard of Oz and
which is now Disney, right?
No.
So who put out that prequel? That was Disney, wasn't it?
Okay, but it's based on a book that's in the public domain.
Ah.
So there are certain things about Wizard of Oz that are exclusive to the movie. So for instance, in the book,
Silver slippers.
I don't know if she has slippers at all, but if they do, they're different color. So ruby slippers, that's a movie only thing. Mm-hmm. So when Disney made Return to Oz.
What a weird movie that is.
That's what the book does, though.
And by weird, you mean bad, yes.
Yeah.
Even like, if you take out the bad idea, like, because it is bad, but it is still like, you've got the weird, like, pumpkin heads on the wheels. And
pumpkin head's a main character in the book.
That's what so Marvel put out like 6 to 12 issue miniseries of all of those books.
Yeah.
And as I'm reading that, I was like, this is so weird. I did not realize that those characters were real.
Yeah.
Like, I just thought they were made up.
Yeah, that they were like, oh, we need our own characters that we can own. No, those are very real characters. Huh. And if you have a Kindle and you want to read the Wizard of Oz books, they're like a nickel. Like, they're,
that's funny.
Because they're all public domain, so right. You can find free or, like, for a dollar, you get, like, all 17 of them.
Jeez.
Or something. You know, so they're very gettable, but. And there are a ton of them. I mean, he wrote these things forever. And then after he died, they brought in somebody else and tried to bring it back.
I see.
So there's even more that are written by other
peeps.
Yeah. Hmm. But so Disney, for Return to Oz, had to pay MGM for the rights to use ruby slippers.
Oh.
Because MGM created the concept of ruby slippers.
Interesting.
So it's like anybody can make a Frankenstein movie, but if he's got a square head and bolts in his neck,
can't do it.
You're going to be paying Universal.
Yeah, they're going to look.
And now we know that there won't be any more Frankenstein movies or that whole monster verse.
Yeah. So we
because Universal came out with a bad one along the way, followed by another bad one, followed by another bad one. And The Mummy just killed it this year.
Yeah.
And then the producers left.
I don't mean killed it in a good way.
Right. No. I was like, yeah, sometimes killed it means, oh, man, you killed it. But this way, this time we mean, ooh, man, you killed it.
Yeah, this
it
is the one where we're talking about an actual corpse.
Right.
Yeah.
And not one that will be reanimated and star in a sequel within this dark universe. It's no, it's
it
done.
Was, it, we said from the get, that was a very, this is going to be make or break. And they broke, and they broke it. Yeah, so if Disney buys Fox, that means Marvel gets all the X-Men and the Fantastic Four. So it's
and they'll own Spidey outright.
No,
right?
Spidey's
no.
At Sony.
That's right. Yeah. I always get that one. So it's always it's off there by itself, and it never
is.
Feels right.
So Sony, I think, has only Spider-Man. I think out of all the like, I think they've got so they've gotten Ghost Rider back, they've gotten Blade back.
We've got Baby back.
They got Baby back.
Ribs.
They didn't... yes. But yeah, so the two big ones that are still floating around out there are X-Men and the Fantastic Four.
Right.
And if they get those back, forget about it. Yeah. Like, it's game over. Like, that DC doesn't have a shot. If Marvel and Kevin Feige get the two...
No, I think they still do because there's... I mean... Because DC still has Batman and Superman, they'll still.
That's
win.
True.
You know,
that's true.
People still want to see
that.
They may
not have Gal Gadot if they don't.
Yeah, I saw that.
What a power move!
Yeah, that's a.
That is.
Have you seen the story yet, Paul?
I heard that she's not going to do it if Brett Ratner is the
yes,
producer.
Yes, that's
she,
the story.
She
in question.
Said
yeah.
If he is a, so Rat Pack Dune Productions is like intertwined heavily into Warner Brothers. Of course, Brett Ratner's been accused. So is his the buddy or the guy that runs that production company with him? And Gal Gadot said, if he is involved in any shape or fashion, I'm out. And I'm sure Warner Brothers is... Also, what were they thinking not signing her to a multi-picture deal?
Is she not?
If she says I'm not... she can't say I'm not doing it if she's under contract.
She might be... She might be just throwing her weight around. She might just
maybe.
Be saying that, like, you know, I'm going to stare this down. Do you really want to say I'm in violation of my contract? We're going to side with this... With the
accused assaulter,
especially as much as that is two mixed metaphors, kryptonite at the
if
moment,
if you will.
Yeah,
like, how about that acquisition of power by Gal Gadot? By the way, I mean this is
oh,
a woman
it's huge.
Who 9 months ago was oh yeah, you were in that movie with John Hamm and Zach Galifianakis,
right.
and Isla Fisher, and you know there was no throwing power around then.
Right. No,
but then you have a movie that opens up and makes $14 gazillion.
Yeah,
and
is
sudden,
like and could save that. Franchise,
yeah,
maybe we'll see what happens in a week. But
well, that franchise is not going to exist based on Ben Affleck, who also
no.
has been accused. By the way, interesting. She
right.
didn't say anything about that.
I think yeah. I think he sort of got out in front of it, and like as soon as that gal from MTV said something, he immediately came back and was just like, "I was a different person. It was my mistake. I'm really sorry." So he kind of got out in front of it, where Brett Ratner hasn't said a word.
Yeah.
And I think Affleck has only had like that one. Ratner has had like Olivia Munn and some pretty high profile actresses
oh, yeah.
come out against him.
Yep. I think also he has the advantage of when he does get handsy, he's Ben Affleck.
He's Ben Affleck.
Like there's probably a greater degree of likelihood that the woman in question is okay with it. I'm not saying it's appropriate,
right.
but I'm saying that like that. Because he's Ben Affleck
and not Brett Ratner,
right?
Or
yeah.
Harvey Weinstein,
George
Takei.
Yeah, that it's like, yeah, that's weird. And it's right now, it's just one when
one
like,
guy.
Kind of like when there's one accuser from 40 years ago. I'm like, I don't know,
right?
How much
and
at this
Richard
moment?
Dreyfuss
so I'll
too.
Put you down for voting for Roy Moore.
Yeah, oh, he's got more than that, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
I was like, I thought that guy like the floodgates have opened.
It was 40 years ago. That's his excuse.
Yeah,
that no woman would keep this secret for 40 years, yeah. And of course she hadn't.
Right.
She just hadn't gone public with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right. Sure. Yeah. So I, you know, more power to her. I hope they. I think Brett Ratner's a dirtbag anyway.
Yeah.
So I hope he loses everything in the whole shebang. And I don't know what they're gonna do. Because they don't have a deal with Legendary anymore, and that was kind of their producing partner for a while. Like, I feel like they may have done Godzilla, I think was their last one. Godzilla or King Kong, one of those
well,
two.
If they did Godzilla, then they probably would have done King Kong, because that's all supposed to be the same place, right?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I feel like Godzilla was their last entry with Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
So, you know, good for her. I hope.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how, like, it's just like they flipped a switch and the power has shifted. Man.
Somebody said that it was like Hugh Hefner had, like, this protective bubble over all of these Hollywood dirtbags, and as soon as he died, the bubble popped.
Yeah, that's
and
it.
Everything came out. Yeah,
it is interesting how many like glowing obituaries Hugh Hefner had. When I'm like, this
of all the guys,
like that guy's kind of,
yeah, kind of a dirt. Well, I mean, who knows? Like
I mean, every story I've ever read about the Playboy Mansion was just like it's airborne chlamydia.
Yeah, it's,
like,
it's modern day Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, yeah. And it was, and that it was like dirty and stunk, and it nothing about its opulence was real. Like you could,
oh, really?
You could photograph it and it would look like that, but once you were there, it was just, it
you're
was,
saying don't swim in the grotto unless you have all your shots.
Yes, precisely. That it was just gross.
Did they all live there, or did just he live there?
I mean, he lived there in whatever bevy of
women he was, or women
hanger-ons that he had. Yeah,
I think only three of them kind of parlay that into
any sort of yeah, because they had a reality show for a little bit of time. And they kind of,
oh, good for them.
Yeah, and there's the one who still has a show on
Kendra.
We, yeah, that's it. Kendra on top. Yeah, subtle.
Well, yeah,
subtle Kendra. Yeah. Very subtle. But then there's a lot. I mean, and Bill Cosby hung out at the Playboy Mansion for years. I mean, yeah.
James Caan,
Bill Maher.
Oh, really? Yeah,
Bill Maher's big Playboy Mansion guy.
I wonder if Louis C.K. hung out there.
I don't think he did, but
it's tough because like
I'm guessing he subscribed to the magazine.
I think that's safe bet. I think it's a safe bet. He seemed like that'd been coming for a while.
Yeah,
he'd been under the microscope for a minute, and then he thought
it looked like he skated it, and then
nope, never mind.
So Hollywood, if you're looking for a doughy middle aged bald guy with a goatee and a weird sense of humor, I am available. And to the best of my knowledge, I don't think I've sexually abused anyone.
You may just want to stay out of the public spotlight just to be safe.
I was telling Crystal yesterday, I'm like, I once dated an intern when I was in radio, but I faxed over her paperwork for her final grade before it started. Like it was.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. It was. I was like,
I'm doing it by the book.
I'm like, we're faxing this in. And I'm like, you did get a C. Just
sorry.
I'm giving you a C so it doesn't look biased. I'm doing this to protect you.
For you kids, faxing was a thing that happened
right
in the 20th century.
Yeah. Now you can just email a document.
Yes. So, and it was age appropriate, just for the record. I was like 27 and she was 25 or something.
That
was,
seems okay.
Yeah. Like it was. Yeah. So there's my big revelation. as our listenership plummets.
Yeah.
Boom! Drops in half to 6. So
when are we doing the next Kevin Spacey movie?
We're not.
Yeah. Not even Ridley Scott is in. Did you see that story?
Yeah,
they're going to completely digitally remove him from the film.
They're getting Plummer to come in?
Yeah, Christopher Plummer.
More age appropriate for the role because it's a 70-year-old character, J. Paul Getty, in that movie.
Yeah.
And they had put lots of prosthetics on there.
Yeah.
Speaking of prosthetics, did you see the prosthetics on Woody Harrelson in the trailer for LBJ?
Yeah.
No. Oh, it looks horrible.
Really?
Yes.
That's such a weird... You'd think with Hollywood's makeup that they could do a good job.
Yeah.
There's many makeup companies out there.
You'd be wrong.
Yeah.
This day and age, just do a motion capture on that waddle.
Yeah, right.
You know?
You get what's his name to do it?
Yeah.
And Andy Serkis.
And Andy Serkis
as
LBJ's jowls.
Yeah. I give you guys credit for working Waddle into a podcast.
I do what I can.
It's and Butterball. They're the only ones. The Butterball Turkey podcast will have a Waddle on it. That's
Thanksgiving is just around the corner.
That's right. Two weeks away.
But, that's crazy that Ridley Scott's just like, we'll just take him out of the whole damn movie.
Yeah, he's guess what?
With 6 weeks to go before release.
That guy's got balls.
He said, I usually work fast.
You better.
And he's like 100. I mean,
kidding.
He's 80, I think.
Yeah, and it's amazing that he is still a relevant director churning out, top-tier box office movies, not just like art house movies or people get excited about a new Scorsese movie, but do they make a lot of money? I guess Wolf of Wall Street
did fairly well. So did the Departed.
Yeah, that's true. But it's different.
It is different.
He's churning out like really like
so. There was
popcorn Hollywood movie. Sure. And I don't mean that to disparage, like that he can still keep his finger on the pulse of what, you know, the 18 to 34 year old movie going market wants, because that's the driving force at the box office.
Right.
At the age of 80 is amazing.
I mean, we've got the Alien franchise. I mean, and that's going to make money no matter what. That's on the Marvel level, not on the Marvel level of returns.
Right.
But audience wise, people are always going to go see an Aliens movie. And I guess Blade Runner, which didn't do what they wanted.
But he just did The Martian. He directed that.
He did?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a good movie.
It was a good movie.
It was a really good movie.
And that's not that's just a straight up Hollywood movie. Sci-fi. Like, there's,
yeah, that's true.
You know?
That is interesting.
Yeah.
And also he's just like, you know what? F you. You're out of my movie.
Yeah, that's ballsy. So, yeah. So coming in at number two is the movie of the week, Murder on the Orient Express, making $28 million, bringing
produced
its domestic.
Produced by Ridley Scott, by the way.
Yeah.
What?
Ridley Scott produced it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
So, and there's another guy that you wouldn't think would be making big hit movies, Kenneth Branagh. Yeah, I mean, you know, with his Shakespearean background, he definitely kind of came out of the art house realm. You wouldn't think that this is the guy that would then, you know, in the back end of his career, give you Thor,
yep.
Cinderella.
Oh, that's right. He did do Cinderella.
Yeah.
That's right. That was really good, too.
I spent most of my adult life purposely avoiding Kenneth Branagh movies because I don't want to accidentally hear Shakespeare.
I think the only one I really remember seeing was Dead Again, which I really liked.
Which one was that?
It was like a murder mystery, and it was a murder mystery that like followed the structure and beats of Citizen Kane.
Okay.
But it was also just really a good, fun movie.
Did you enjoy Wild Wild West?
Nobody did.
You know what? I think Kenneth Branagh may have, because he looked like he was having a ball on set.
He enjoyed that paycheck.
I bet he did.
That's what he enjoyed.
Like Michael Caine in Jaws 4.
Jaws 4. Yeah.
You ever see Jaws 4? No, but I saw the house it built. It's delightful. So, but I think that's a great sign that a movie like Murder on the Orient Express, week two against Thor, can make almost $30 million.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, it's nice. It's a movie. I don't want to say for adults, because then it sounds like an adult movie. That's a different kind of train.
That's right, yeah.
But
different kind of murder.
Yeah. But movie for grown-ups.
Yeah.
This is the kind of movie Hollywood doesn't make anymore.
No, I think, so we saw it with It, where they can take, when people take that source material and they treat it correctly and they do it correctly, you're going to put out, like, there's a reason those books are so revered and loved.
Yeah.
And when you take that love and you put that onto the screen and you create something like It, and I for me, this version of this movie,
yeah,
like you've got a formula that is foolproof.
They seem to be getting better about not second guessing the source material.
Yes, I agree.
You know, and that's always been the big problem, is they would buy a book like this and be like, but that ending.
Yeah, you know? I think we saw that with Gone Girl. I think Gone Girl may have been the beginning of that.
Yeah,
little, like, just do the book, like, just stick to do what the book did. We'll tell you that we changed the ending, but we're not.
Yeah,
going
I love how they floated those stories that they changed the ending just to get people to be like, you know,
because I mean, once you see the ending of that, once you see the turn in that movie and the book, once you know it's coming,
right,
it loses a little bit. I think the movie's still awesome because it's Fincher and Affleck wearing a St. Louis Cardinals hat, but. Yeah, so like I think if Agatha Christie, I mean, there hasn't been a movie made about her off of her works in how long?
Well, they did a version of Murder on the Orient Express in 2010,
right?
Actually, but it was a BBC thing, and it spun out of, I believe, the show that they made.
Yeah.
Locally, it aired on in the United States. For
locally,
that's locally for Agatha Christie books, but aired on PBS.
It was a masterpiece.
Yeah. And but they spun that on, but I don't think it was a theatrical release, was it?
No.
Yeah. But beyond that, I couldn't tell you the last time there was an Agatha Christie feature
74,
film.
The one
was
it, the
is it that
directed?
Is that the last one? Yeah.
So now you've got Kenneth Branagh may have a franchise. Like, it's, I mean, not maybe with $30 million, maybe not, but see what it.
My guess is, though, that these probably aren't super expensive movies by Hollywood standards, and I bet you it does really well in Europe.
I bet
right. you it's got a foreign box office that kind of props it up as well.
I think that's very true. And it couldn't have been much. I mean, you're going to pay for talent.
But even the talent that's in this movie, their names you recognize.
There's one big name that probably garnered somewhat of a paycheck.
Yeah, but even then, like, Oh, Johnny Depp. But he's in it for such a short period of time.
Spoilers,
like,
Tom.
He's the victim. Like, that's, I don't think that's a spoiler. Like,
next thing you'll tell us, there's a murder on this Orient Express.
But, you know, that might be their end run to get a big name.
Maybe.
Like, it's like, oh, yeah, we need George Clooney, but we need you for 3 days.
Right.
You know, and I mean, I think Johnny Depp,
a little bit more than normal, but not crazy.
I mean, honestly, it's the Gary Marshall Valentine's Day model.
When I saw that cast, I mean, that's cast that it's everybody you recognize now because they've built up their names, right? So,
right.
You know, Daisy Ridley and Josh Gad, and who have become more popular in the last 4 years.
Yeah, but Penelope
Cruz,
from
Hamilton.
Yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Right.
So,
like, I don't think any of those people, like, can open a movie. So they're not that kind. And based on history, Johnny Depp can't even open a movie anymore. But
Johnny, can you just stay sober for 72 hours?
Yeah. But you're seeing lots of stars. I mean, it's also kind of that Irwin Allen disaster movie model that they use where it's like, here's a bunch of famous people. And, you know, and then we get one or two A-listers, but they're in the movie for 20 minutes because we needed them for 2 weeks,
exactly.
And that's it.
Do you know who was in the 1974 version?
Ingrid Bergman.
Albert Finney and Sean Connery, right?
Yes. Albert Finney was Hercule Poirot.
Hercules.
Lauren Bacall, Martin Balsam, Ingrid Bergman, who won an Oscar for it, Jacqueline Bisset, Sean Connery, John Gielgud, Anthony Perkins, Vanessa Redgrave.
Who was Anthony Perkins?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. He was Madden. He was the Josh Gad character.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Michael York and Richard Widmark.
There's not
a Penelope Cruz in there.
Not a one.
But yeah, I mean, so.
We'll get into it.
So yeah, but I love seeing that movies for grown-ups can make that kind of money.
Yes.
And now the opposite of a movie for grown-ups, coming in at number 3. Daddy's Home 2,
okay,
making $27 million. So
that's, I mean, going up against Bad Moms, this, like, I think that's your split audience.
Yeah, totally. It's an interesting list going from Thor to Murder on the Orient Express to Daddy's Home 2. Like, it's interesting. Like, they've really carved up genres.
They really have,
And demographics and given different demos movies. And it's working for all of them.
Yes, correct.
You know,
I wonder, what did that first one do?
That first one just
kept going.
Like, I think it opened to about the same amount of money, if memory serves, but it was over Christmas, and it just kind of kept doing $20 million.
That was coming off of the other guys.
I'm trying to remember if Will Ferrell did something in between.
But I mean, them together.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. Coming in at number 4, another kind of demo recognized, Bad Moms Christmas.
Did
almost $12 million. So that brings its total up to $40 million.
In week 3?
No, that's week 2.
Week 2?
Yeah. Oh. Only a 30% drop.
That's impressive.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's... And I think, honestly, it's going to have legs in a way a lot of these movies don't. The way we talk about movies that target older people, like, it takes them a while to get to the box office.
Sure.
I think it's the same thing going on here because they're targeting moms, and moms have things to do. Like,
they're busy ladies.
This is the counter programming to Thor.
Right. I mean, and I said that last week. I was like, I think it made so much money because it's like moms dropped the kids off at Thor and they went and saw this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's interesting that they, like, Daddy's Home and this seem like this. They almost seem like the same movie, basically.
I mean, the kind of are. It's just with
moms and dads.
Right.
You know? And the fact that it still was able to pull in $12 million when Daddy's Home is, you know.
You know, when the marriage is rocky and you go on separate vacations? This is kind of the cinematic equivalent of that.
And one of them, you find you're on vacation with Mel Gibson.
Yeah. Right. And just like, maybe I should go to the other one.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But
let's not go to the kosher deli.
Yeah. You know, we won't be there.
He's another one that can't, like, somehow managed to, I guess he just laid low. He was like, yeah, it'll blow over.
And he made Hacksaw Ridge.
Yeah, that helped.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I forgot about that. And they're just like, hey, he's back.
And it was interesting that he made the Hacksaw Ridge is that, I mean, that was a good movie, but it was also like the demo that movie was targeted to doesn't care.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? They don't care that he said that stuff.
No, and it's. You know, you can blame alcohol, you can blame whatever you want, but, like, you still, you still said it.
Yes. Yeah.
That's, all that did was bring out the true you.
Right, right. It's still on audio.
Yeah.
I mean, we've said before, we kind of compared it to the Alec Baldwin thing, but Baldwin was yelling at his daughter rather than a police officer, yeah. You know, your ex-wife.
Interestingly, Baldwin, first person to ever yell at his daughter.
Yeah. That's probably
true. He invented that.
Yeah.
It's called a Baldwin when you do it. Yeah. Like you pulled a Baldwin. Yeah.
Oh, I just, that's
what I know. When that story came out, I'm like, anybody upset about that does not have a teenage child.
Correct.
Right. Yeah, you've never raised a teenager, have you?
By the way, when somebody says he pulled a Baldwin, the first thing you should ask is Alec or Steven.
I was going to say Daniel, but, you know,
either way. Nobody pulls a Daniel Baldwin.
Still better than pulling a Louis C.K.
That's true.
Yeah. Who's the other one? Billy Baldwin.
So there's Billy, Dan.
Billy Baldwin was in that movie with Cindy Crawford.
Fair game.
Yes.
Yes. That Cindy Crawford joint that was. And I saw that poster. I was like, yeah, I'm going to see that movie. That's going to happen. Oh, yeah. What a pile of garbage that was.
Yep.
But it had Cindy Crawford in it. So.
And then there's Adam Baldwin, but he's not related.
But he's not related.
No
My
relation.
Bodyguard.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's that?
My Bodyguard.
My Bodyguard. What a great movie.
With Chris Makepeace.
Yeah.
That's the one that's kind of. What's the Owen Wilson?
And Martin
Mull. A ripoff.
And Ruth Gordon.
And
Matt Dillon.
Yeah, that's Matt Dillon's second movie. His first movie was Over the Edge.
Oh, we talked about that.
Yeah, which is, I love that movie.
Yeah.
Right. But and also you see in there a young Tim Kazurinsky and a young George Wendt, Norm from Cheers, pops
really?
Up.
Really?
Yeah, because they filmed it in Chicago, and so they went to Second City and got a bunch of people
right
for the smaller parts. And so they I think, is it Tim Kazurinsky? Was he the chauffeur driver? Maybe they both work at the hotel they live in. Have you ever seen My Bodyguard?
No.
Oh my God!
But that's Owen Wilson. There was an Owen Wilson movie that ripped that off, right?
Totally. I think it was just called. Was it called the?
Can't call it the Bodyguard. That's the Whitney Houston Kevin Costner movie.
I felt like I had something Bodyguard in there.
Yeah,
but My Bodyguard is it's a kind of a forgotten 80s movie, and it is so. So good.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. I watched it with the kids not too long ago, and it worked. They liked it.
Adam Baldwin, who did the original voice of Superman on DC's first animated venture.
Oh, okay.
He was the voice of Superman.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Was Chris Makepeace the kid in Meatballs?
Yes, he was the kid in Meatballs.
Okay.
And then him and Lance Kerwin were in a movie together. I'm trying to think of what it was. But Lance Kerwin was James at 15.
Right.
And then in season two, James at 16. And then season three.
There wasn't one.
Canceled. Yeah. So
he was James at the unemployment
Yes. but that was a good show. That was a pretty edgy show for its time because like he ends up like losing his virginity.
Oh.
And, I mean, this is like in this, you know, like the mid to late 70s. Like it was a.
Okay.
I mean, that's a pretty...
I don't remember, but okay.
Yeah, that was a pretty edgy show.
I'll have to check that out.
And then, was Christopher Makepeace in that?
I feel like in the one with Owen Wilson, they tried to replicate... They tried to, like, find younger versions of Michael Cera, Jonah Hill, and...
Yeah.
Like, the super bad kids.
Yeah.
And they were just like, can we just get those kids that look like those guys and just make them younger?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, sure, why not?
And I think Jesse Eisenberg, there we go, sued them.
Is that right?
Yeah, because he's like, it's my job to look like Michael Cera. That's my job.
Michael Cera's all, he's like, boy, am I glad I dodged that Lex Luthor bullet.
Yeah. It is interesting, though, how when he first started, it was like he was kind of not Michael Cera, and now Michael Cera's gone.
Yeah, he is gone.
And
now he's just Jesse Eisenberg.
And now he's just
I think he distanced himself when he did... Was it The Social Network?
Yeah.
I think that's the one. That
yeah, because Adventureland, especially because they imaged it as from the makers of Superbad or the producers of Superbad.
Yeah, then you added Ryan Reynolds. And,
yeah. But I agree. I think Social Network is when people really were like, oh, he's not just.
Oh, he can actually act.
Yeah.
Not that Michael Cera can't act. But
it's just a different
thing.
I think he's doing more behind the scenes stuff, although he is in that new Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah, he's in Molly's Game playing the
movie.
Character that's not Tobey Maguire.
Yeah.
Do you know the story about that?
I know. Is it based on a true story?
Molly Bloom. I interviewed her.
Okay.
Molly Bloom was a woman who
just
ran.
To back
this
up
is the Jessica
quick,
Chastain movie, right?
You are
yes.
a poker aficionado. You know a lot. And the way, like, if there was a movie about the monkeys, I could come in and tell you about it. You are, like, super into poker.
I have lost enough money at a poker table to be considered a person who plays poker.
Right.
This movie, Molly's Game, is based on a woman named Molly Bloom, who organized the high-stakes poker games for celebrities and rich people out in Hollywood. Not in casinos, but in hotel suites and that sort of stuff. She actually was working for another guy who did this, and he essentially wouldn't let her do much of anything. And so she said, okay, fine, I'll go off and I'll do this myself, and I'll do it better than you. And so we're talking about games where millions of dollars were on the
right.
table.
Ooh-wee.
And Tobey Maguire was winning and crushing everybody on a regular basis.
He's his generation's Gabe Kaplan.
Okay. Yeah.
From a Gabe Kaplan is very good at poker.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's Gabe Kaplan?
From
Welcome Back, Kotter. Okay. He's Mr. Kotter.
Yeah. Don't like, you think I'm going to know who that guy is.
Welcome Back, Kotter was a...
I'm
you know
you.
Welcome Back, Kotter,
though?
Oh, yes. He was Mr. Kotter.
Yes. Got it.
Or if you prefer, Mr. Kotter.
Mr. Kotter.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Washington. So Molly ran these things, and eventually somebody convinced her to run some in New York, and she got involved with the wrong people, and the FBI found out and came crashing down on her and the whole operation. And so she wrote this book called Molly's Game, which is a terrific read, and she goes into detail and names names of the people who were there. And the stories that she has in there about Tobey Maguire paint him as an absolute jerk.
Gotcha.
All the
Why
time.
Am I not surprised?
For instance, there's one story in there about how he didn't like the fact that the dealer had to shuffle the cards by hand. We would get more hands in if we had an automatic shuffler, which casinos have.
Right.
But you can buy them for home games. I've played in home games where they had one of those,
right.
and it does it in about 45 seconds.
Okay.
And so Toby had one of those and brought it, but wouldn't just bring it to the game where he was making like $1 million a week. He charged her $200 an hour to use his automated shuffler.
What a prick.
Yeah, because it was his request to make the game go faster so he could make more money, but I want to be paid for that privilege.
Yeah. So is that why there aren't Tobey Maguire movies anymore? Like, was he just doing so well in poker that he just lost interest?
I think it's possible that he took money from the wrong people in some of these games.
Ah,
but I don't know.
Gotcha.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I do know that I'm looking forward to this because Aaron Sorkin not only adapted her book for the screen, but also directed it.
It's his directorial debut.
Really?
Is that
and
right?
I'm pretty sure it is. And
film? He didn't do any of The West Wing or any of...
No, he didn't do any of those.
Okay.
Yeah, but I thought it was his directorial debut.
It's hard to write 6 scripts in 5 days.
That's
while
fair.
Doing
yeah.
coke and also direct the episodes.
Well, I don't think you can write them in 6 scripts in 5 days
without
doing coke.
Right. Yeah, right.
It goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
Hand in nose.
hand on teeth, it's fine.
But I've seen the trailer a couple times
I
now,
have as well.
and it looks awesome.
Jessica Chastain is one of those actresses where she doesn't show up often, but when she does, like, she's magnetic.
Yeah,
and I was just like, whatever.
And I love Aaron Sorkin's scenery chewing dialogue,
yep.
where it's just like nobody can really talk like that. But
it's perfect.
But I don't care.
I don't
and
care.
You know what? You know where else? You know how else nobody will talk. Casablanca.
Tarantino movies.
Right. Tarantino movies.
Yeah.
Juno.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, I interviewed, who's the guy that directed Juno?
Reitman.
And it was like a round table thing, and I asked him about how, like, this was for Up in the Air, and I asked him how, like, people are kind of going back to Juno now and being kind of crappy to it.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, oh, it's too cute. It's, you know, people don't talk like that. And he got kind of defensive, and I was like, I was wondering if you could address that, because I'm like, I don't agree. I'm like, you could say the same thing about Casablanca. Nobody talks like that.
Right.
But it's still, you know, it's a stylized form of dialogue. But did it work? Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It's Kevin Smith's the same way.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of that, when you watch that early stuff, that is what draws me into his movies is how I talk to my friends. Like,
right.
That it seems like a conversation that I would have.
And the thing is that, you know, when you hang out in the nerd world,
yeah.
there are a lot of people that think they talk like that,
right?
But they don't talk.
No,
like
they.
And
you're not as profound.
Yeah,
I mean, like the go back and forth.
Sure,
like that's. I don't mean like, you know, I don't.
Shark goes into the salsa.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, that's. I think Juno's a fantastic flick.
Absolutely.
And anybody says you're dumb.
Yeah.
Interesting thing about this Aaron Sorkin Molly's Game that's going to come out at Christmas. Jessica Chastain was interviewed recently, and she was asked about how dense an Aaron Sorkin script is. And she said, well, I did Miss Sloan a couple of years ago, and in that one we had to do 25 or 30 pages of dialogue at a time.
Oof.
In an Aaron Sorkin movie, you do over 50 pages.
Yeah.
She said, I've never
That's
had to memorize
insane.
As many words in my life.
Because I bet you it's not like when you see the dialogue, it's probably just like blocks of it's not like
right.
a line and then stage direction and then, you know, exterior outdoor. It's like you know, it's I'm sure it's, you know, Moonlighting famously was the same way. Their scripts were twice as long as traditional 1-hour television.
Interesting.
Because They said it was because they would argue so much that
the two, like Sybil and Bruce Willis.
Like the characters.
Right, I mean, I think,
and the actors too, but the characters, like so much of that show was them arguing and they're talking over each other and then they were talking fast.
Can
and so
imagine how hard that must have been?
And like at the time, it was, I believe, the second most expensive television show on TV.
I believe it.
Because the scripts were so long. The most expensive television show on TV was V. Because of all the special effects.
Yeah.
So you had a show
not even based on content.
Because of special effects.
No, because of lizard skin.
That's
right.
It comes off too.
When V started, I believe they said it was $1 million an episode, which at the time,
that was in the 80s?
That was in the 80s, was just a crazy, and that's why if you watch any of V, the series, by the third episode, every time a ship lands, it's the exact same shot of a ship landing. Because it was like, oh, we've got that from the miniseries. Just slice that
just
in.
Just do that in.
The ship always landed in the same place.
Right. Always.
There's a great Simpsons gag where they're going to like the Itchy and Scratchy studios, and they're talking to the producer, and he's like, oh, no, just like an easy way we do it is we just use the same frame over and over and over again. Well, as he's talking,
they're using the same
frame over and over and over again.
Which is based on true story about the Flintstones.
The Flintstones
did that.
Oh, yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
If you go back and watch, like I have those Looney Tunes, like the Platinum Editions on Blu-ray, they do it too.
Of course.
Like, oh, yeah. There's some that are the exact same cartoon, just with like different words.
And those are the days where they had to hand draw every cell.
Yeah, every cell, everything was hand drawn.
But you got to
remember, not like file copy.
No.
Which is what you do now.
Right. But you also got to remember back then, like you didn't have a way to see them again.
That's true.
So if they kind of remade it and put it back out, it was okay. Like nobody, you know, you see this a lot with old movies where if they make a sequel to an old movie, it's kind of the same movie again. Like Buck Private's 2 is not, or Buck Private's Come Home is not radically different than Buck Private's.
Right.
It's like they do, or Abbott and Costello would, you would see a lot of the same routines pop up in movies. They'd be like, oh, we haven't done that one in 3 years. We'll go ahead and do that again. Because people couldn't watch it on TV, and so they were happy to be like, oh, they're going to do Who's on First again.
Oh, boy.
You wanted it. Yeah. You know, you wanted it.
I still want it.
How many movies have you walked out of and said, I enjoyed the movie, but the scenery was redundant?
Yeah, never. a couple.
Yeah, it's like there's one scene in the Flintstones where they keep going past the same. Their living room is so long, it's the they used it for the runway in Fast and Furious 7. So back to the movies. Coming in number 5, Jigsaw made $3.3 million, bringing its total up to $34 million. So we'll continue the counter-programming, a little something for everybody. And then we can still continue that. Coming in at number 7, number 6, Tyler Perry's Boo 2, A Madea Halloween.
I'm shocked.
Made, people are still going to Halloween
movies.
Yeah,
I know. They don't want to let it go.
Yeah, made $1.9 million, bringing its total up to $45 million.
Maybe they didn't stop
going. And then I think we finally stop with movies for everybody. Here's a movie for nobody, Geostorm. $1.4 million, bringing its total up to $31 million.
I heard they're doing another one of the... Olympus has fallen, and he's just going to fight a giant ab muscle. They are doing another one.
Based on the pictures I've seen lately, it won't be his own.
It'll be.
It won't be his own.
Well, he has one big one now.
Is that what?
That's what it is.
Oh, in that case, I've got a one pack. Yeah, it's called a keg. So. Coming in number 8, Happy Death Day, $1.3 million.
Really?
Yeah, bringing its total up to just shy of $55 million
on a $5 million budget.
Yeah, on a $46 budget, and then coming in at number 10 is Blade Runner 2049, $1.3 million, bringing its total up to almost $88 million.
Had a good run. It's going to be done next week.
No, it didn't.
I know.
It did not have a good one.
Yeah, I know.
You can try to make them feel better about themselves, but they're seeing the totals.
$88 million means nothing for a special effects movie.
Not a movie like this. I mean, and this was supposed to be not just special effects, but and sci-fi for the nerd base, but high art, and that the critics were gonna, and the critics did gush all over it. I didn't. I mean,
I did. I enjoy. I liked it a lot.
But you know. I didn't love the original Blade Runner. It falls into the category of a movie that's easier to admire than it is to enjoy.
Yeah, I thought Matt Reeves was going to snap one of these legs off and beat us both with the.
Yeah,
we both were just like it took me two nights to watch that movie.
Yeah,
because I was just like, I'm bored. Like, this is boring.
And I've revisited it revisited it several times over my life, thinking like, I'm older now, man. I was just young and dumb, and I'm just like, eh. Nope. I get what people. It's a great looking movie.
It's a hell of a looking
but
movie.
But it just doesn't suck me in like I.
No.
It wants to be a sci-fi Chinatown, but it doesn't. It's not Chinatown.
It's not there.
It's no Chinatown.
There's no Chinatown.
So, if only Ridley Scott would be sexually assaulting girls, then
God.
I think that would make it better, right?
I don't
that
think way? So. That's that not the way that works.
Is that the magic recipe?
No, it's not.
That's not the magic recipe?
All right, I'm going to put it out here right now.
Oh, no.
Next week.
Please be a metaphor.
It's not a metaphor. Next week, as we all know, is Justice League.
Yeah.
What do you think it's going to make? Domestically. Well, now, don't worry about overseas.
Domestically? 180.
Ooh, wow.
Wow, I was going to go 125.
I think coming off of Wonder Woman.
Okay.
You know, because I see a lot of women in my Facebook feed excited about Justice League because...
Based off of Wonder Woman.
They see it as Wonder Woman 2.
And it might be.
And it might very well be. Well, like
Some of us will find out on Tuesday.
Yeah, fingers crossed. But yeah, like, and so I think it's gonna do better than a lot of these other ones because they're finally coming off a movie that people actually enjoyed.
I would agree.
And I think the average person is like, maybe they've righted this.
I was going to put it at like 165.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah. Well, we will see.
We will.
So that's your box office report. Well, thank you, Tom.
You're welcome.
We normally wrap that up. So that's it for this episode. I guess let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
I'm on Twitter at Paul Harris Show.
And this is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you would like to continue the conversation online, you can find us at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. Or while you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. We're also on Twitter at Real Spoilers. You can check out our website, RealSpoilers.com. Or if you prefer, DirtyPirateHookers.com.
Don't you have a new venture?
What's that?
You tell me. Aren't you back somewhere doing some movie reviews on some...
I have a new outlet locally that I've been doing movie... That I started doing...
You can still find it online somewhere,
I'm sure. Yeah, totally. I started doing movie reviews on Y98 every morning. Or not every morning. That would be like just a job.
God.
That would just be a full-time job. On Fridays. I went in for my first one this Friday, so...
There you go. Congratulations.
Thank you. And you can find that online, I'm sure, at I guess their website's probably Y98.com. That seems like a safe bet. Or just Google Y98, or their call letters are KYKY.
Ooh.
And if we're pushing radio shows, we also put
that's
on
right.
calls on KTRS.
Yes.
Where I also do movie reviews.
Yes.
So
Jesus.
I know. I'm a whore.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
And part of my show on Friday afternoons is a thing called the Showbiz Show.
Right.
Where Max and I review movies and talk about whatever else is going on in showbiz.
Right. And
Max Foyzy?
Max Foyzy, who's also been on the show
that's
a couple
right.
times.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
So it's a whole... just a whole little
Real
family.
Spoilers is taking over.
Yes. We're like a virus. So
that's also true.
Yeah. So so I've started doing that every Friday. So thank you. So that's it for this episode. So thanks for tuning in. Coming up with the next one, we will tackle Murder on the Orient Express. And until then, you've been warned.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.